We begin here at the top of Nun Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara is continuing the discussion that we started yesterday, which is the source for the fact that Memei Raglayim have a din of Tumah. And the Gemara says it learns it out of the fact that the word Vizot comes after Zovot Tameh. The Gemara said, why do I need a Pasuk at all? I could have learned it out from a Kal Vachomer. And my rope, when it comes to spittle, it comes from a place of Tara, it comes from the mouth, Tameh. That for the Zav is considered to be Mayan and Tameh. Meiraglav, when talking about urine, habaim bimakom tameh, they come out. They exit from the same place that the zov exits. Enudin, sheyeh mitamim, certainly that should be tameh. Dama yotze mipiama yochiach. Blood that exits the aver will be a proof that that's not true. Shebava mekom tameh, it exits the same place as the zov, v'tahor, and yet, despite that, it is still tahor. Afatal titama, don't be so surprised, al zeh sheafu pishabam makom tum'ah. The urine that exits from a place of Tumah, yet Tor is a possibility that it was Tor. So Tamad Lomar, therefore we required a Pasuk of Zavot Tameh, Vizot, there are both Meir Aglav the Tumah. So that Pasuk of Vizot, either because the Vav is a Reboy, or because, as Rashi says, they parse the Pasuk differently, that Vizot is a Reboy to add in urine to be one of the things that is Tameh when it comes to the Zav. Gemara now wants to understand, Dama Yotzimi Piyamami Nolan. How do we know that blood that comes out of the Aver is considered to be Tahor? Titanya, Yocho Yehei Dama Yotzimi Piv Umi Piyama Tmeim. I would think that blood that exited his mouth or his Aver would be Tameh. Now, in terms of blood exiting the mouth, it has to be that it's flowing out or somehow not mixed with saliva. If it's mixed with saliva, then it's Tameh because of Rok. Nothing to do with dam. Here we're talking about pure dam that's exiting the mouth or exiting the aver. So I would think that those items would be tmeim. Tamanomar zavo tamehu. Hu tamei vein dama yotzemi pivum piyama tamei. So since we have a miut of hu, only the zov is considered to be tamei, but not blood that is exiting the mouth or the aver. Ela tohor, that will remain tomorrow. Ipochano, why not say just the opposite? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai dum yedurok. We have to compare it to rok. What is rok? Ma rok shemit agel v'yotze, that gathers together and then is expelled. Av kol shemit agel v'yotze, anything that first gathers together and then is expelled. Yatza dam shenu mitagel. So we exclude from that blood which does not first gather together before it's expelled. V'yotze v'arei chalav shebi'isha. What about milk of a woman? Shemit agel, it does gather together and then v'yotze and then exits. We saw before that Chalav Isha is in that mid-level, has Tuma Kala, but does not have Tuma Chamura, doesn't become an Ava Tuma like a Mayana Zav. So there it's Mitamashkim, Mitumat Mashkim in Ava Lo Tuma Chamura. Similar to spittle. Marok mit agel v'yotze v'chozer v'nivla. Rok has these three four qualifications. One is, first of all, it's mitagel, it gathers together first. V'yotze, and then is expelled. And number two is v'chozer v'nivla. And it also, if it is not expelled by the body, will be reabsorbed by the body. Av kol mitagel v'yotze v'chozer v'nivla. So too, any other item that gathers together is expelled, and if not expelled, the body is reabsorbed by the body. So now, yetzad dam she'ein mitagel v'yotze. Dam is excluded because it doesn't gather together before it's expelled. Yetzad chalav ha'shebi isha. The milk of a woman is excluded. She'avo bishim mitagel v'yotze, it does gather together and it is expelled. Nevertheless, eno chozer v'nivla, it's not reabsorbed by the body. So Gemara says, v'nilef mizovo. Why are you learning out of rok? Rok is one example of the liquid that is expelled by the body of the zav, but the zov itself also is expelled by the body. And the zov that is expelled by the body is not necessarily mitagel, it doesn't gather beforehand. It's the machloket we saw earlier in the Masechta. But assuming, according to the one who says that it doesn't gather together, why don't we learn out other liquids from that item? Mazovo shein mitagel v'yotze, mitameh, it's still mitameh. Avko, so to any other liquid that's expelled by the body should have the same din as zov. Samarava mizovo lekalamelef. Zovo is exceptional, you can't learn from it. Shekein goreim tumah l'acherim, because it causes tumah to others. And that was the Kal Vachomer that we had learned earlier with regards to the Zov. The Zov itself, the emission of the Zov is either, according to Rashi, what causes the Zav to be Tamei, or the Masa of the Zav by someone else makes them Tamei because of the emission of the Zov. The Zov has a unique property in its ability to make the Zav or someone else Tamei, which is not true about any other liquid. Therefore, Zavo sits in its own category, and we cannot use that as a paradigm for other liquids. Roque, which is unique, roque, which does not have that unique property, and as a liquid from there, we'll use that as the paradigm for all other liquids. And therefore, the qualifications are, in mitagel, it has to gather together first, viotse, and is it expelled? If it's not expelled, it's reabsorbed by the body, by sheretz. So sheretz is one of the items in the list that is only mitamei lach and not yavish. Amar shlok is sheretz yavish, sheretz that dries out, vishuldo kayemet, and its form is still intact. The shela dil is the skeleton, but here it means the form of the body is still intact. Tamei, vanan tanan, that is in direct opposition to our Mishnah. Mitamim lachim ve'mitamim yaveshim, and here Reish Lakish is saying that a sheretz yavesh is mitamei. Some Reb Zera lo kasho, abe kulan, abe miksatan. Depends how much of you have it there. Reish Lakish's statement is made out about a dried out sheretz where you have the entirety of the sheretz still present. That's what it means, shildo kayemet. The entirety of the sheretz is still intact and in front of us. And then if you have a portion of a sheretz, which if it was lach, would be mitamei because it's mitamei ki adasha, but if it dries out, it's no longer mitamei. So it depends if you have the whole sheretz, only a portion of the sheretz here. The Tanya, and I can prove that to you that that's the case. You have a bright. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak b'Rabbi Bisna, I'm Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. By the psukim of sheretz, it uses the term bahem, which is kolenu ge'a bahem. Yochol b'kulan, I would think in all of them, tamalomer mehem. We also have a pasuk, chol ha'shei polala mehem b'motam yitma. So we have the words bahem and mehem used by sheretz and tuma. So he says bahem would imply that you need the whole sheretz to be mitameh. So tamalomer mehem. Mehem means only a portion of them. Imehem yachol miksatan. So I would think even a portion is sufficient to make it tameh. Tamalomer bahem, that you need the entirety of the sheretz. Ha, ketzad, how can we distinguish between mehem and behem? Kan belach, kan beyavesh. Depends on what we're talking about. When we're talking about a moist sheretz, then even miksatan, even a small portion is enough to make you tameh. When we're talking about the yavesh, then you need the whole sheretz to be intact in order for it to convey tuma. And that corroborates what Reish Lakish was saying, which is that shildo kayemet is mitameh. As opposed to when we're talking about lach, when we're talking about a small piece of the sheretz, that is mitameh, even if it's not the entirety of the item. But if it's dried out and it's a small piece, that would not be mitameh, and that's what's being discussed in our Mishnah. Amar Rava, hanei zvugei de mechuza, these shretzim of zvuga, whether it's a lizard, or Rashi says it's a tzav, which is a turtle, ki shildam kayemet tameim. If their skeleton or their body is intact, they are mitameim. It's similar to the statement of Reish Lakish before. Bama Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish makes a different statement, which is sheretz nisraf. Sheretz that is totally burnt, consumed in fire, vishildo kayemet. But its outline, its shape is still intact. Tameh, meitevei nimtza sheretz saruf agabi azeitim. You found a burnt up sheretz on top of zeitim that were tahor or were tarot, v'chein matlita mehuhav teorim, or if you found a very well-worn down beged, which no longer has a shame beged on it, the zeitim, which are tehorim, remain tahor, even though the item on them was tameh, and had the item been alive or intact, it would have made them tameh, but since we find them now in a position where they no longer convey tuma, the sheretz when it's burnt up, and the beged when it's already worn down, the kol tameo kishat mitziatan, comes to tuma, anything that's mitameh, it's at the time that we find them, that's where we determine the status. Since these items were no longer classified as sheretz or beged when we found them, therefore they're not tameh. We're not chushesh that maybe when they were still a sheretz or when they were still a beged, they touched the zeitim. So again, how do you reconcile between Shlakish's statement that a burnt up sheretz is mitameh? And over here we have a Mishnah that is telling us that a burnt up sheretz is considered to be tahor. So Rabbi Zera lo kasha, similar to what we saw before. Habi kulan, habi miksatan. Depends what you're talking about. If you're talking about a burnt up sheretz, or a portion of a burnt up sheretz, correct, it is tahor. If you're talking about the entirety of the sheretz, where the burnt up remains are intact, or the shape of it is still intact, that is considered to be tameh, even if it's burnt. Tanya, again, we have a braita that supports that understanding. Bahem. V'chol enogea bahem, it sounds like you've touched the entirety of the sheretz. Yachol b'kulan, tamalomer mehem. Sounds like you only have to touch a portion of the sheretz to become tameh. Imehem, if you think yachol miksatan would be enough, tamalomer bahem. Hakid said, how do we reconcile between these? Kan b'saruf, kan b'che'in saruf. Depends if it's burnt up or not. If it's burnt up, then the only way it conveys tuma is bahem, when it's in its entirety, when it's in its full form. Mehem, if it's not burnt up, meaning that it's still lach and hasn't been consumed in fire, that will be mitameh, even if it's a small portion of the sheretz. Because you don't need the whole sheretz to be mitameh. You only need the whole sheretz when either, as Reish Lakish said before, it's yavesh, or here where it's saruf. Now the Gemara continues with the remaining items of the Mishnah, where after sheretz we have those items that are mitamei lach and not yavesh. The first one is zav. Dichtiv. How do I know that by zav it's mitamei lach and not yavesh? Because it says rar b'saro, and rar means drooling, liquidy, and therefore the zav or the zov is only mitamei when it is lach. Kecho v'neo v'roko. How do I know the fact that the spittle, the mucus, and the phlegm also is true? Dichtiv. Hi yarok hazav ke'ein rok. It has to be similar to the spittle. And the spittle is moist, so too, only items that are derivatives of that are moist will be classified as being tamei. Sheretz. I don't know if this is true by sheretz, because it says bimotam amarachmana. They are conveying tuma when they die, and bimotam means kein mita, at the time that they die. Time that they die, they're still moist, and therefore they're only mitamei in that state. Shechvat zera. How do I know that that has to be lach? Because it's a ru'uya lehazria. It's called shechvat zera, but it has to have the potential to fertilize, to impregnate. That's only true when it's a lach. Now, even though there are other qualifications for shechvat zera, nevertheless, we need something that has potentially, if it had these other qualifications, would be considered shechvat zera to be mitameh. So it doesn't have to be literally ra'uya lahazria, but it has to be in a state that in its proper conditions would be mazria. And that means it has to be moist. If it's dried out, it clearly will not impregnate. Nevela. How do I know that nevela is only lach? Dichti v'chiamut. Similar to what we saw by the sheretz, when they die, the nevela is ge'en mita, like the time of death when the animal or the item is still moist. Im yucholim lashrot. So the latter half of the Mishnah says, if, after the yarvesh, if you soak them and they can reconstitute them by soaking them, then they still convey tuma. So by Rabbi Yirmiyah, tchilato b'sofo b'voshrim, do you have to soak them over that 24-hour period in warm water over the entire period? O dilma tchilato, afu pishen sofo, is that to start in warm water? Even though over time the water will cool, nevertheless, that is sufficient. Tashma, the Tanya, we have a brayta that discusses exactly that point. Kama ishriyatan bipushrin, how long do you have to soak them in warm water? Yehuda ben Kuso omer mi'eit le'eit le'to, afu pishein sofo. 24 hours, starting in warm water, even though they don't finish in warm water. Shem Gamliel omer tzrichim shepushrin mi'eit le'eit. Shem Gamliel says that they have to be in warm water from beginning to end over the entire 24-hour period. Yosi omer basara meit. Yossi says when it comes to Basara Meit, it has that same din, that if it can be reconstituted, it's mitameh. If it cannot be reconstituted, then it's not mitameh. So Amar Shmuel, Tahor mitameh b'kazayit, aval mitameh tumat rekev. Even Rabbi Yossi agrees when he says that you can't reconstitute it, that has a din of Yavesh, and it's not mitameh, kibasar kazayit minameit. Nevertheless, it still has other aspects of tumatameit, which is called rekev. The rot, or the dust of the mate that comes about after the decomposition of the body, so to over here, this is no worse than that decomposition, and it'll have the din of rekev. Rekev is mitamei, b'kemelo matarvad, has to be a spoonful of rekev, to be mitamei, b'magamasa, and Rashi over here mentions also in olamet. Tani nami ochi, we have a bright that supports this, Rabbi Yossi Omer, basara meit shevesh, ben yochol lishrot, and you cannot reconstitute it by soaking it, v'lachzor kamot shaya, tahor mila tamei b'kazayit. It doesn't have a din of kazayit basara meit, but nevertheless, it will have a din of tamei tumat rekev. It will have the din of other tumot of tumat meit, which is that of rekev. Okay, next Mishnah. A sheretz shenimtza b'mavui. A sheretz that's found in a alleyway, mitamei l'mafreya. It's mitamei retroactively any tarot that were in that mavui. Ad shimor badakti et mavui. And zevelo yabo sheretz. So we have a definitive statement that someone checked this area, and there wasn't the sheretz before that point. Oh, achat kibud, or until the last time it was cleaned out or it was swept. V'chein ketem shenimtza b'chaluk. You find a stain of dam on a beged. Mitamei l'mafreya shemar badakti et achaluk hazeh v'lo haya bo ketem. Until we have a definitive statement that this beged was checked and there was no ketem on it. Oh, achat kibus, or retroactive, the last time it was laundered, where Tosafot formulates it in one of two ways. Either we know once it's laundered, either the ketem definitely went away, or even if there was a ketem, it's been washed enough that it will no longer convey tuma, or the check was before the kibus, and that checking made sure that if there was a ketem in there, it would have been laundered. Umetamei ben lach uben yavish. And both of these are mitamei, whether they are moist or dried out. Shunomer, yavish mitamei lemafreya v'lach enu mitamei alay tshach, hey, echol lagzov liot lach. That the yavesh is mitamei as far back as the last check. When it comes to something that we find now that is moist, it only can go retroactively back to the time where something could have been moist. If we find blood that is still moist, that means that the blood had to be there only a short period of time. And so we can estimate how much time it would be to retain that type of moistness. And before that, it clearly wasn't there. And the same with the sheretz. So we do that rather than just assuming, oh, going back objectively to the last cleaning, because that's not relevant here. We have some other demarcation that can tell us about when the last time this could have happened. But if it's yavesh, if it's dried out, we have no clue, and therefore we go back to the last check or the last laundering. Gemara now posits a question. It's going to posit both by sheretz and by ketam, which is, by the way, shat kibud chezkado baduk. Question is that the reason that we classify the air as being clean and having no sheretz there is because when they sweep it, they check it. Or do we assume that when someone sweeps it away, if there was tuma, it would have been swept away? What's the difference? What's the difference if we say that it was checked when they swept it, or sweeping it does the check? Damar kavid velo badi. One afkamina is if he says, I swept it, but I didn't check it. So iamart chezkato baduk. If we say that when one sweeps, they check, he said he didn't check. Halo badak. So it would not be good enough. Iamart chezkato mitchabed. If we say that when someone sweeps, we assume it swept up anything that was there, hamitchabed, then this was swept, and therefore we assume the sheretz wouldn't have been there before that point in time. Inami, another nafkamin is, tishtakach beguma. Found the sheretz in a crevice, because iamart chezkato baduk. If you say that the din is, it has to be checked, manda badak beguma nami badik. One who checks the crevices, checks any area there would be a sheretz, and therefore we assume that it was checked there, and it wasn't found. If we say just the mere fact that it's swept is enough to say that anything that was there would have been swept away, a crevice is not an area that gets swept up. That's what the broom goes over that area, and would not have necessarily swept away the sheretz. So here are two nafkaminot between them. And now we have the same question, v'chein ha-ketem. Same question that comes up by the ketem. By the way, adshat kibus cheskato baduk, odume cheskato mitchabes. How do we look at the ketem? Do we assume the last time it was laundered, the reason that there is no problem anymore is because the chazoka is that when you launder it, you check it? Or do we say that when you launder it, that is a check because anything that's laundered would no longer have a ketem in it? L'may nafkimina, again, what's the difference between these two? Damar kibes velo badak. He says, I laundered it, but I didn't check it. So, iamart cheskato baduk. If you say the whole reason this works is because when you launder, you check it, halo badak. This person says specifically, I didn't check it. Iamart cheskato mitchabes. If you say the whole reason it works here is because the laundering takes away anything that's there, hamitchabes, this was laundered. Inami, another nafkamina, dishtakach besitra. If you found it on the seam of the beged, you found it on the cuff of the beged, iamart cheskato baduk. If you say the whole reason this works is because when you launder, you check, manda baduk besitra nami baduk. If someone checks, they check the whole beggar. They check the seams, they check the edges, they check the sides, they check everywhere. Iamart cheskato mitchabes. If you say that it was laundered and therefore everything was cleared out, besitra lo mitchabes. When it comes to these remote locations or these folded areas, they aren't laundered so well. And so that wouldn't have been covered by this laundering. So my, what's the din both with the ketem and the sheretz? Tashma, the tanya of a braita. Amar Rabbi Meir, mipnei ma'amru sheretz shenimtza b'mavoi mitamei l'mafreya. Why do we say when you find a sheretz in a mavoi, in this alleyway, that everything, all the tarot, there are tamei retroactively? Ad shimur badakti et ha'mavoi hazeh v'lo yabu sheretz? Until we get that definitive statement that the person had checked and there was no sheretz there. Oh, ad shat kibud. Backwards until the last time it was swept up. Mipnei shecheskai b'nei Yisrael budkim mivotayem b'shat kibudayem. So here it's stated explicitly, the reason is because when they sweep, they check. So the checking comes about while they're sweeping. It's not that the sweeping is sufficient. It is that at the time of sweeping, people check. Vilo badku. And if they didn't check, hifsidu al mifreya. If they don't check, then that's what's going to happen. They're going to lose out retroactively. Umipnei ma'amru ketem shenimtza b'chaluk mitamei l'mafreya. Ad shiomar badakti et ha'chaluk hazeh v'lo yabu ketem. That we say that a stain in a beged is mitamei retroactively till the last time you can say that if definitively it was checked. Oh, ad shat kibus, or backwards until the time that it was last laundered. Mipnei shechazkat benot Yisrael bodkot chalukeyem b'shat kibuseyem. Because there's a chazakah that the Jewish women check their clothing when they launder. So again, we see here that the definition is about baduk, and that the assumption is that when it's swept or when it was laundered, they check. Vim lo badko. And if you didn't check it, if sidu al mefreya, you lose out retroactively. Rav Acha amar, tachzor v'techabsenu. Rav Acha says, you should go back and launder it again. Take the ketem and launder it. Im nidche marito, if it fades, b'yadur shalachar kibus. You know that the ketem came after the last laundering. Ilav, if it does not fade, then b'yadur shalachar kibus. that it was already there before the previous laundering because it doesn't fade. Rebbe Omer, you don't need that. It's easy to distinguish between a stain that is found prior to laundering and a stain that's found after laundering. When it's prior to laundering, you can feel on the surface, you can feel the stain itself. It's raised, it has some sort of hardened form on top of the surface, and therefore it's discernible. And therefore, if it was prior to laundering, the stain would have been on the surface and be able to be felt on the surface. Well, the zemakdir, once it's been laundered already, it already sets into the beged, and you'd be able to tell the difference. You don't need to launder it again. It's obvious from before you launder it, whether it was there and been laundered already, or whether this is post the last laundering of the beged. Shmamina. From that bright, we can clearly conclude that the whole issue is chazkato baduk shmamina. The whole issue is that we assume that the person at the time that they're either laundering or sweeping does a check. And that's the determining factor over here. It's not because the laundering is sufficient. It's not because this sweeping is sufficient to ensure that there's nothing there. But rather, at the time that those actions are taking place, a person does check. Amar Rabbi Elazar, v'metamei ben lach u'ben yavesh. Amar Elazar lo shanu ala sheretz. Aval ketem lach nami mitamei limafreya. Rabbi Elazar is coming to modify or qualify the statement of Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah that there's a distinction between whether it was dry or moist. If it was dry, we go back to the last laundering or the last sweeping. If it's lach, we go back to the amount of time it would have been moist. So on that, Rabbi Elazar says, lo shanu ala sheretz. That's only true by the sheretz that this distinction exists. Aval ketem, lach nami mitamei lafrei. Even a ketem that is moist, we would say that it's mafrei, retroactively it's tamei, all the way back. Imar yaveshaya, because we'll say that it was dry, umayinafalele, water fell on it, and that's why it's looking moist now. When I say sheretz nami, ima yaveshaya, say the same thing, it dried out, umayinafalele, and now water fell on it, rain fell on it, and now it's moistened it again. It says, im ita by sheretz, that wouldn't work, the achio, if that was the truth, imretute, imretet. It would have been dismembered, it would have lost, it would have fallen apart. Sheretz, that dries out, and then is reconstituted, it falls apart, doesn't stay in one piece. That's not true by the ketem, if it gets moist again, it doesn't necessarily crumble or fall apart. Therefore, we'll distinguish between lach and yavesh when it comes to a sheretz, but we will not distinguish between lach and yavesh when it comes to a ketem. And that's Rabbi Elazar's qualification and Rabbi Shimon's statement in the Mishnah. Okay, the next Mishnah. Kol ha'ketamim habayim mirekem torim. All stains that come from the city of Rekem are tor. Rabbi Yehuda mitamei, b'pnei she'en gerim b'toim. Rabbi says that all those ketamim are considered to be problematic because they converted and they make the mistake. They don't understand the halacha. They don't understand what to do with their ketamim. And therefore they're Jewish and those ketamim are mitamim. Habayim ben of the chachavim teorim. Any ketam that comes from the non-Jews is considered to be tahor because ketam, as we know, is a din derabanan, a zera derabanan. The rabanan were not gozer on the ovdei chachavim with regards to ketam like they were on benot Yisrael. Miben Yisrael ben akutim, if it comes from Jewish women or the women of the kutim, Remeir mitamei, Remeir says those are tmeim, chamim mitarim, neshel nechshedu al kitmeim, Remeir mitar, both the kutim and the Israelim, because they have there's no chashad on the ketem. The Gemara will ask, then according to the chachamim, who is tamei? If the ovdei chachamim is tahor, the Israelim are tahorim and the kutim are tahorim, there's nobody left to be tamei. The Gemara says, kapasik vitani. Our Mishnah is definitive. That the only place that there's a problem is Rekem, afilu mi Tarmud. But if they come from Tarmud, it's not a problem. Am Rabbi Yochanan Zotamer, from that you can conclude, mekablim gerim mi Tarmud. We can accept converts from Tarmud. That means that our Mishnah thinks that the place called Tarmud is a place where there are non-Jews. Ini, is that really true? Rabbi Yochanan b'savya damri tarvayu, ein mekablim gerim mi Tarmud. They don't accept converts from Tarmud. V'chitema zot velo svirle. If you say that the Zot of Rabbi Yochanan is coming to qualify the Mishnah or explain the inference we can draw from the Mishnah, but he doesn't necessarily subscribe to it, our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan is going to subscribe to our Mishnah. It says, these are Amoraim arguing within the position of Rabbi Yochanan. One Amora says that Rabbi Yochanan always says, Alachakistam Mishnah. The other Amora here says that, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Tarmod is a place that is problematic for Gerim. Now, in terms of what the problem was, Rashi says over here that they thought in Tarmud there were Mamzerim. Mamzerim that were a product of a marriage of an Ovid Kochavim or an Eved to a Jew. Because the city of Tarmud was filled with the Aseret HaShvatim, from the girls or the women from the 10 tribes that were exiled, and there they intermarried, and in intermarrying they caused mamzerim. Now this is a machloket in Yevamot as to whether an intermarriage like that causes a mamzer. Obviously this is according to the opinion that such a marriage produces mamzerim. Now if they're mamzerim, we won't accept gerim from them because they're really problematic. They're really Jewish, but mamzerim, and therefore they can't join the kahal. Now then, if they are gerim, meaning they're non-Jews, and they're a geri emet, then they'll be fine to join the kahal. So that's the machloka that is transpiring over here. As far as the city of Rekem, over here Rabbeinu Tam wants to change the girsa to Reket, because he says that the Mishnah in Gittin, the first Mishnah in Gittin, says that Rekem was a Jewish city, because it's one of the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Tosafot says he doesn't think that that is so convincing, because, first of all, there were many places called Rekem, and there could be multiple places called that. And in addition to that, even if you say Rekem was a Jewish city, what they're saying is the non-Jews in Rekem, and that's what the Mishnah is stating. Mibenis of Rabbana, Yisrael Mitare, if they say the Jews, the Ketamim of the Jews are a Torah, also the Man Mitamu, then whose Ketamim do they make Tamei? Chasurei Mechsera, Mishnah is missing words. Rachi Kaatani, Mibenis Yisrael Tamei, Jewish Ketamim are Tameim. Miben HaKutim, when it comes to the Kutim, there's the Machloka, Meir Mitamei, the Kutim Geri Ametim. Rameir says that they're full-fledged Jews, they were proper converts, and therefore the Ketamim are Tmeim. Chamim Itarim, the Chamim say they are Torim, the Kutim Geri Arayotim. The Kutim were converts as a product of being scared. They were not Geri Emet, but because of fear they converted, and therefore they're not classified as being real Gerim. If they're Ovdei Kochavim, then their Ketamim are not Mitamim. When it says Yochi, then the Mishnah, or the wording of the Mishnah, is incorrect. Shlo Nechta Shudu Al Kitmehem. It says, the reason that they are not Tameim is because they're not suspected with their Tameim. It should say, Geri Areot Mi Ba'ilei. It should say, the reason that it is because they're not real Gerim. Elohi Kamar, this is what it means. Mi Ben Yisrael Ben HaKutim Tameim. From the Jews and the Kutim, they are Tameim according to everybody. The Kutim Geri Emet. Everybody agrees that the Kutim were full-fledged converts. Now, Anim Tzaim Barei Yisrael Teorim. If you find Tameim in Jewish cities, they are Teorim. Shelo nechshedu al kitmehem. They're not chashudim not to take care of the ketamim and to put them away in a proper place. To take them and make sure that they don't get mixed up or go into places that'll cause problems with tarot. That's nuim etz lelo. They throw them out, they burn them, they take care of them. And I'm saying by rei kutim. On the other hand, if you find ketamim in the cities of the kutim, Rabbi Meir mitamei de nechshedu al kitmehem. He says that they are mitamim because they don't act properly with regards to the ketamim. It's a din de rabbanan, and therefore they were not so careful about it. On the other hand, the Chachamim believe that they did take care of the Ketamim. When they took on a mitzvah, they took on its full force. And therefore, if they knew the Ketamim were Tmeim, they would not allow them to float around the city. So the question is not about whether they are Tmeim. According to both opinions, they are Tmeim, both for Israelim and for Kutim. Their Ketamim are Tmeim. The only question is, what do they do with those Ketamim? If they take care of them, then we never have to worry in those cities where they're Israelim. And Kutim, we don't have to worry about finding Ketamim, because any Ketamim you find must have come from an Ovid Kochavim, because no Jew would allow that to come out of their hands. No Kuti would allow that to come out of their hands and cause a problem. On the other hand, Rabbi Meir says, no, that's not true. But Jews, that's true. By Kutim, that's not true, because they are Nechshedu, and allowing their Ketamim to circulate. Therefore, you find it in one of their cities, it's not guaranteed that it came from an Ovid Kochavim. It could have come from a Kuti. If it comes from a Kutit, then it is Tamei. Okay, we'll stop over here.